This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Say, our friends at Jack Daniel's want you to know the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey, so make it count. We're back here, Steve Carroll with Dan Wood in this particular segment, going over some of the scoring and, of course, our play of the game. Before we get started, want to remind you, Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network being brought to you all season long. Various aspects of the broadcast by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Well, kind of unusual some nights that you start the broadcast and a goal is scored, and that winds up being your play of the game. Well, tonight, that's a fact. The Ducks play of the game is brought to you by PDFTron. PDFTron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at PDFTron.com. Let's go, Ducks! Not a good start for Anaheim at the 7:42 mark of the opening period. Joel Farabee put the Flyers ahead 1-0. Puck flipped ahead. Here they come. Shot towards the net by Konechny, fanned on. Now out in front, a shot. And that's deflected wide. Another opportunity in front. Backhand shot. They score. And that goal by Joel Farabee. Some hard work by the Flyers forward unit there. Couple of cracks at it. Farabee finally lofted a backhand shot, which beats Gibson. It's 1-0 for the Flyers.
Yeah, and looking back on it in retrospect, pretty good indication here of what kind of a night it was going to be for the Anaheim Ducks. Flyers center Noah Cates with a shot attempt from the slot. The puck went off the stick of Ducks defenseman John Klingberg, kind of popped up in the air briefly. At least some of the players on the ice lost track of it. Not Joel Farabee, though. He was able to control the puck down low on the right side. Beat John Gibson with a backhand shot. Farabee gets his seventh goal of the season. Cates and Konechny with the assists. At 7:42 into the first period, the Flyers were on top to stay.
Usually that home team, you give up the game's first goal, so your immediate thing is, hey, we got to get this thing tied up. We can't afford to let in another goal. But, Dan, the Flyers got one just past the halfway point of the first period and really started their roll at that time, I think.
Yeah, and we talked on the pregame show about the importance of taking care of the hockey puck, and neither team has been particularly good at that this season. And that bit the Ducks on this play. Max Comtois unable to handle an entry pass attempt at the Philadelphia blue line. The turnover, the Flyers quickly turned the puck the other direction. And Cam York, the young defenseman out of Anaheim Hills, sent Morgan Frost, in on left wing. And Frost, using Ducks defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk as a screen, able to beat John Gibson from above the left wing circle. Frost with his eighth goal of the season. Cam York and Joel Farabee, the assist. That made it 2-0 Flyers at 10:36. And that is how the first period ended.
Travis Konechny had gotten an assist on that first goal of the game by Farabee, but he did some damage offensively early on in the second period. The only goal actually scored in that frame.
Yeah, remarkable patience here by Kevin Hayes, who led a two-on-one rush, and he just held on to the puck forever. Ducks defenseman Nathan Beaulieu, the lone man back, slid down to try to block a potential shot or pass in the process. Beaulieu slid out of the play. Mason McTavish trying to race back to help defend. He, too, slid out of the play, and that enabled Hayes to ultimately deliver a nice little pass, setting up Travis Konechny low on the left side with an open net. Konechny hit it for his 19th goal of the season. Hayes and Cates the assist. That goal exactly 3 minutes into the second period made it 3-0 Flyers.
Yeah, when you have a game that's like 2-0 or so and still plenty of time left in it, that third goal is so important. But then when it becomes 3-0, like Dan just talked about, you have to have that next goal, and it just wasn't coming. Philadelphia got it.
Yeah, they did. Scott Laughton on a wraparound that actually took a fortuitous bounce for the Flyers off the skate of Ducks defenseman Cam Fowler in front of the net. Laughton winds up with his ninth goal of the season. Hayes with a lone assist that made it 4-0 Philly at 8:26 of the third period.
One bright moment offensively came late in the game with time winding down.
Yeah, Sam Ersson, the young Philadelphia goaltender bidding for a shutout, came within 39.6 seconds of achieving that. But Ryan Strome scored from the slot after a nice pass from Trevor Zegras. Strome gets his ninth goal of the season and at least averted the shutout from a Ducks perspective. The Flyers, though, get the victory 4-1.
So Anaheim goes 0-1 against Philadelphia, and we'll see them in a couple of weeks in their home building. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Josh Brewster will join the conversation with Dan Wood and Steve Carroll. Again, the final, Flyers 4, Ducks 1, and you're listening to the post-game coverage exclusively on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested. All for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us. All of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Hey Ducks fans, wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order, plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean, it's better when it's real.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. Come to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
We're back at Honda Center. Fans have continued to file out of the building tonight after a disappointing loss to the Flyers. The Ducks lose it 4-1. Steve Carroll along with Dan Wood and Josh Brewster. We're going to go around here for a few minutes and get feelings. And Josh, we'll start with you. When all said and done, what sticks out to you the most?
I think the passing game sticks out most in my mind. It's very hard to track statistically in the game of hockey that's so fluid. But to me, the passing game is so disconnected at times that I understand why the Ducks are not able to get some offensive zone time, get some second chances and some rebounds. I just don't think it's tight enough, and amongst a number of issues that the Ducks have faced, I don't think the passing game is working out real well, and the Ducks absolutely have to do something about that.
You know, Josh, that kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about, because clearly the execution was simply not there for the Ducks tonight. And don't get me wrong here, because I'm not saying that anyone was not trying or not working hard, because that is absolutely not the case. But just in terms of being on your game, the only guy in a Ducks sweater tonight that I think was on his game was Trevor Zegras. Trevor Zegras had a very strong game. He set up the only goal. He had 9 shots on goal tonight. No other Duck had more than 3, and Frank Vatrano was the only one with as many as 3. So you look at Zegras' stat line, 9 shots on goal, 3 other shot attempts. He won 4 of 6 draws. He had the assist on the Ryan Strome goal late, and Trevor Zegras played 21 minutes, 56 seconds. No other Duck skater had that much ice time, not even any of the defensemen. So when he's on the ice that much, you know that the coaching staff feels like he's doing something right, and he certainly was. As for everybody else, I don't know, just one of those nights or what. But as you talked about, Josh, the passing game, the execution, the power play was out of sync all night. You just have to hope for better things come the next game against Dallas.
You know, I do start to wonder whether the same 10 guys who play on the first and second power play teams should remain those 10 guys. I think about Max Comtois, if you want to get him back on track. He's on a long, pointless drought. Why not give him some time in the with the extra man? Just an idea. Shake that up a little bit. I mean, you're really – look, you're going to miss Jamie Drysdale all year long. But it's disappointing. I really thought with five power play opportunities, when I think of the amount of time that our special teams units have played together, I really think at this point, halfway through the season here now, that they really should be coming up with more.
You know, it's a good point, Josh, and I think, after a game like this, I think any question is a fair one. The Ducks' first power play unit had been really good. In fact, now it's three games the Ducks have gone without a power play goal. They are 0 for 11 over the past three games. Prior to that, they had been 5 for 16 over a stretch of five games. And virtually all of that success has come from the first unit, the group with Cam Fowler and Trevor Zegras and Adam Henrique and Mason McTavish. Those guys have been good. So I'm not so sure I would mess with the first power play unit. But the second one, why not? Because that group hasn't done a whole lot. And at this point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, let me ask you guys this. I think it's happened already, but at what point does it become so mental that you've got to make changes? You've got to do some things that put this team a thought process that, you know what, we can go out there, be competitive, we can win some hockey games, because I'm thinking at the point of the season right now, there can't be that much confidence, and you got to be down mentally.
Well, I would say the hour is nigh. You're halfway through you're five games into a 10-game homestand, and I keep pointing to the fact that San Diego is close. I don't think there would be any harm swapping some guys out. Let's take a look at some of the guys who we've gotten in trade, maybe guys like Axel Anderson, players we've signed up like Ole Ualevi. If Braden Tracy and Jacob Perro might be ready to play a little bit, why not shake it up now? The wells kind of run dry here, and we're not scoring, and I would say now is just as good a time as any.
Well, I'll tell you what ran through my mind during the game tonight, and we've talked about this previously. Despite the difficulty this season, I feel like the Ducks have maintained a really positive mindset throughout. But how long can that last, given what's going on here? Given the struggles, if they lose that and they sort of give in to this adversity, then what? Then what's going to happen? That's what kind of concerns me. So with that in mind, I think, Josh, your point is well taken. It might be time for something resembling a shakeup, just to kind of create some kind of different feeling in the locker
room. Rocco Grimaldi's doing well in San Diego. It's just it's an idea amongst many. Is right down the road. You're, like I said, you're halfway through a 10-game homestand, and I think the hour is nigh.
Yeah, the trouble is, I don't know that there are a lot of good options in San Diego. Rocco Grimaldi obviously has put up points down there. He does not have an NHL contract, not to say that he couldn't be signed to one. But, the Tracys, the Perros, they haven't really developed to the point where they've mastered the American League and forced their way onto an NHL roster. So, it's a tough call. Do you do something just for the sake of doing it? I guess that's kind of where we are right now.
I think the phrase that best describes it is we need some kind of spark. Something, right? Whether it's a player, a play, whatever it is, new faces in the lineup, something has to happen. You don't want this to continue on every single night.
Absolutely.
And, I think Lukasz Dostal provided that kind of a spark, not only with his play, but just with his youthful innocence and exuberance. But what are you going to do? You've got John Gibson and Anthony Stolarz, plus I don't know that the spark provided by Lukasz Dostal would be enough to carry you over the course of more than a couple of weeks. So it's a tough call right now for General Manager Pat Verbeek. I'll be honest, I don't know what the answer is.
I don't either. So we trust the people that are in charge to get it done. Josh, what's coming up on Duck Calls?
Duck Calls got Rob Simpson tonight from SeattleHockeyInsider.com and VancouverHockeyInsider.com. He's a longtime NHL media guy. Worked for the Bruins on Nesson, hosted a show on Sirius XM. He's been at it a long time. He's always a great guest. 714-940-2888, Steve, on your speed dial.
How can you ever forget that number?
I repeat it constantly.
In all of our brains.
That's right. That's
all
right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. We'll see Josh and Dan, of course, coming up when the Ducks take on the Dallas Stars. Josh is next with his Duck Call segment. I want to thank Dan Wood for all of his work tonight. I'm Steve Carroll. Of course, Ben Conroy, our on-site engineer. Glad to have him with us. Rick Cutler should be back soon, but we like Ben a whole lot, too, just so you know that. And, of course, everybody else, including Cash Hibbler down at Skyview in the state of Arizona, and our longtime statistician, Vic Pence. Good job tonight. Final score here in Anaheim. It was the Flyers of Philadelphia 4, the Ducks of Anaheim 1. We'll greet you at 6:30. Coming up, our next broadcast Wednesday, prior to the 7 o'clock matchup, the Anaheim Ducks and the Dallas Stars. So have a safe, enjoyable two-day period. We'll try and get a win Wednesday here at Honda Center against the Stars. For everyone, good night. You've been listening to Ducks Hockey on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Just like hockey, breaking news happens fast. That's why it's so crucial that you hear every update wherever you are. Great news, NBC News is available right on TuneIn, so you never miss a headline or a story.
Critical and extreme fire danger that covers.
This is about protecting our democracy.
We don't always have to agree. That's part of what.
So when you aren't listening to the Ducks delivering thrilling hockey, you'll be listening to top NBC News anchors delivering key headlines. Hear it here, right on TuneIn.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available, with live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9, and when an argument
plus is being ad-free made music and news, just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. Rack them up now. Tonight, Flyers 4, Ducks 1. Well, I'll throw this one out to you right off the top of the show, and you give me a call at 714-940-2888 on DuckStream. Is it time to shake up the lineup? Is it time to shake up the power play units? Is it time to shake up the penalty killing units? Is it time to swap some new faces in here? Is it time for more guys to get some ice time? Some guys get a little less ice time. Ducks face a number of issues here, and they're starting to pile on. I really thought that this homestand, and give me a call if you were here at Honda Center or if you were home watching. Good energy in the building tonight here at Honda Center, but give me a call. The zone entries for this club have to improve. The passing game has to improve. And the execution in general has to improve. Just like I was just discussing with Steve and Dan just a moment ago. I think it's at the point now with a 10-game homestand and where I still believe this. I still believe you can play your best hockey and make a chapter of the season go your way. I thought tonight was an opponent that offered an opportunity. No offense to the Flyers, but they have some similar struggles that the Ducks have. They take a lot of penalties, and they're not the highest scoring team in the league. But I always like John Tortorella, and he's always got an aggressive team, and he's got a team that blocks a lot of shots, and I like that. So here you are, you're five games through the homestand, and unfortunately, and I really thought this would go a lot better. The Ducks are 1-3-1 on the homestand, and we've got 8 goals for in the 5 games that we played on the homestand. So give me a call at 714-940-2888 on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. You know, so I mentioned this in the first intermission, for the first period. There's times when, and there's been a lot of times, when Lukasz Dostal, John Gibson, Anthony Stolarz have really been the backbone and have bailed us out. Tonight, we really needed to bail out John Gibson. I think he wants both the first 2 goals back, quite honestly, especially the long shot by Morgan Frost. But it was really unfortunate that, you know, down 2-0, we were very much in this game. Unfortunate that we could not make it happen. In the second period, and the second periods have been so tough, 14-7 was the shot advantage for the Ducks. Unfortunately, we gave up the goal in the second period. So that was obviously a negative, the Travis Konechny goal. But I really thought the middle of the game tonight, it looked better. And the shot totals, it certainly wasn't a deluge. We were able to keep the Flyers quite often to the perimeter. And, I mean, they were good around our net, but I thought we did a pretty good job taking care of Gibson for the most part. But we had it under control here. Shots are 33-29. It was 17-7 after the first period. So the Ducks did manage to straighten that out. But I'll tell you, these zone entries and our out-of-sync passing game, you know, as I mentioned, it's very hard to statistically track what's happening in the passing game in hockey because it's a fluid game. And it's very hard to track, but the passing game here is not, it's not really cutting it. And you're almost halfway through the season here, so this is what makes me wonder whether we need to shake up the lineup a little bit. So, were you here at Honda Center? Were you at home? What did you think? The Ducks fall to 10-24-4. 10-24-4 on the season. It's a disappointing loss. Upcoming on the homestand, Dallas, San Jose, Boston, Edmonton, and New Jersey. All right, let's go to the phones. I've got Adam. Adam, you are on Duck Calls powered by Duck Stream. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm well, Josh. How are you doing?
I've been better, man. I really thought this was a night that we could have taken advantage, but we did not. What have you got for me tonight?
No, it certainly was a game I wanted to see better from the team. I thought Zegras had a great game. Might have been a little bit inspired going up against a former teammate in Cam York. But you talk about staking up the lines. I'd love to see Akerson get a chance. I believe he leads the goals in plus minus. He's a plus 8. But I also think the injury to Max Jones, Isaac Lundestrom are really impacting this lineup right now.
Well, I think you've got a good point. You know, Isaac Lundstrom, he had struggled earlier in the season, but as we saw last season, he really has come on in terms of driving that center lane and using his speed. And I would agree with you. Now, obviously, Jamie Drysdale has been a because this is a guy who can really walk the blue line. And I talk about the passing game. I think he's a guy
right.
who you could depend on to to really improve our passing game. You kind of came in and out. You mentioned one of the Gulls who you were interested in.
Yeah, I think if you can hear me better now, Axel Anderson. I believe he leads all goals, Gators plus eight. I think he'd be a good guy defensively, young guy. Give him an opportunity. We got him in that Hampus Lindholm trade.
Yeah, it is. Look, I'm not in San Diego to see a lot of this, but of what I am aware, obviously, Axel Anderson is a guy who I'm obviously very interested in seeing because, you know, as you mentioned, we got him in the Hampus Lindholm deal. And, you know, guys like that, guys like Drew Hellison, I even mentioned another defenseman, Ole Ualevi. Ole Ualevi was drafted fifth overall by the Vancouver Canucks,
right?
And in 2016. And so, you know, I think we have some options here, but yeah, no, those are good suggestions. What else have you got for me on tonight's Duck Calls?
No, I think Jamie Drysdale is definitely tough. They're so used to seeing him quarterback a power play, playing with Cam Fowler. That's a guy that is tough to have out. I think we saw with Lukas Stostal when he came in, really sparked some energy. I think Rocco Grimaldi, a great guy to maybe see him have an opportunity. He played really well in that preseason. I think he could be a really good spark plug for them.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you on all fronts. And we're halfway through a 10-game homestand, so it's entirely conceivable that we will see some changes around here. Let me ask you about my suggestion about the power play units. I think that maybe it's time to swap some guys in and out of there, just for the sake of trying something new, because I think that it's just too much of a problem on most nights.
Yeah, no, I think second power play unit needs a little bit of shaking up. Love to see Maxime Colm try and find his stride. I remember that COVID season, he really broke out offensively, and I think if he got his game going, got that confidence going offensively, certainly be a guy. Maybe see a guy like Brett Leeson block out the eyes of a goal to front of the net, or some of those energy guys. I know that line with Max Jones and McTavish and Leeson when they were all together did some good things, and maybe you see some of those guys that aren't getting minutes on the power play and play that gritty area right in front of the net and really do some good things in that net front area.
No, I agree with you, and thank you very much for calling the show. Please give me a call anytime. You got some good takes there. Max Jones now has missed 9 games. What else we got here? Derek Grant missed his 13th game. Isaac Lundstrom missed his 14th game. Drysdale his 30th game. He's not going to be coming back anytime soon, unfortunately. You know, Lukas Dostal definitely was a sort of a shot of smelling salts, I think, for the club. You know, anytime you throw in a rookie netminder, probably not a lot different than what the Flyers have done with Sam Ersson, who played tonight and only allowed 1 goal. You know, I think the Ducks did a good job of taking care of business in front of Lukas. But as I said on the beginning of the broadcast tonight, I look at, you know, goaltending stats all the time. And I take a look at, like, a club like Edmonton, for example, and, you know, Stuart Skinner's numbers are just so much better than Jack Campbell's that you say, oh, well, obviously, you know, this is the guy. You look at the Ducks' numbers, and the numbers between Dostal, Gibson, and Stolarz really are very similar. And when you see that, and you do see that on any number of clubs in the league, it really goes to show you, you know, how often the statistics about goaltending speak to how the team is playing in general. And I think that's the situation that you have here. I think we've gotten quality netminding most of the time from the three of them, Dostal, Gibson, and Stolarz. This was not John Gibson's best night by any means. But, you know, again, you didn't score a goal until, you know, 40 seconds left in the game, 59 minutes and 20 seconds into the game. So that's not helping John Gibson. Interesting tonight, Nick Deslauriers, of course, he was certainly a fan favorite when he was here in Anaheim, and it didn't take him long. Always stands up for his teammates. He's very tough to play against, to say the very least. But in case you're interested in the rule, he took a roughing penalty tonight for removing the opponent's helmet. A rule number 51.1, roughing is a punching or slamming motion with or without the glove on the hand, normally directed at the head or face of an opponent, or if a player intentionally removes an opponent's helmet during play pursuant to Rule 9.6. Rule 9.6 is the rule about helmets. So since Nick yanked, I think, was it Delorier's helmet off? Or was it Kulikov's? I can't remember. But he got the roughing penalty for removing the helmet. So if you thought you heard something you don't normally hear, you did. It was the removal of the helmet as part of the roughing penalty. Couple other things. This has come up many times, but if the Ducks are going to win some games here, it's got to stop coming up. Second chances not happening. Rebounds not happening. And it speaks volumes about whether you really are able to develop that net front presence. One-timers not really happening. And as I mentioned, the passing game tonight not really happening as well. Offensive zone entries that absolutely has to improve. So these are the things that the Ducks face. We'll see how this goes. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to tee up my guest, Mr. Rob Simpson from SeattleHockeyInsider.com and VancouverHockeyInsider.com. Rob's a great guest, and I will be right back here on Duck Calls. You're listening on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'll be right back after this, 714-940-2888. Duck Calls. I will be right back.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down three positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act. Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. Did you know you can see all the hottest concerts of every genre, every Ducks game, the best comedy in the world, and a full slate of other events at Honda Center with a premium seating membership? Learn more about the perks of club seats and luxury suites at HondaCenter.com/luxury. All right. Welcome back to Duck Calls. My guest tonight is Mr. Rob Simpson from SeattleHockeyInsider.com and VancouverHockeyInsider.com. You may remember him also from his years on NESN, the Boston Bruins, and also many years on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. He's a great hockey media guy, and here he is now, Mr. Rob Simpson. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
Thank you very much, Josh. Very kind. Happy New Year to you, yours, and the Ducks fans. Thanks.
Likewise to you. Well, here we are. I'll tell you, I thought the Ducks could take advantage of a Flyers club that takes a lot of penalties. Ducks were not able to manufacture anything on the power play tonight. The problem persists. Why don't I get your thoughts, Rob, and then we'll break it down from there.
Well, yeah, 0-for-5 on the power play has been an issue. John Gibson not necessarily getting it done. So special teams and goaltending, there you go. There's two notches that you prefer to have in your favor that you didn't. And Philly has a very, very successful little trip in California, that's for sure, after, you know, going into the break playing that well, and now they've reeled off three wins in a row. So
yep.
More of this will be for the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, beat the Sharks, beat the Kings, and now have beaten the Ducks. So it's, boy, California used to be a scarier trip, I remember, years ago, but maybe not. It used to be scary to come out here and play all this country. Yeah, no question about that. So tonight, you know, we've got John Tortorella's club, and I said this before the game. I said, you know, regardless of their record, you can depend on a Philly team to block a lot of shots. They didn't have to block that many tonight. But you can depend on them to block a lot of shots. It's a Tortorella team. And you can also depend on them being aggressive and forcing you into quick decision-making. And, I think things will get better for the Flyers as time goes on. But it's you know when you're playing a John Tortorella club. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no doubt. They are definitely – they emphasize shot blocking, they emphasize tenacity. But you really can't argue with some of the injuries the club had. I mean, they've gone through the gamut. I mean, all coaches say we can't use that X guy up mentality, but they have been ridiculously banged up. Some of the longer-term, bigger guys, like Sean Couturier's been out, and Ryan Ellen hurt, and who knows what the hell's going on with their goaltending. Good on the kid tonight. This Sam Ersson kid, the Swede, gets within, 40 seconds of a shutout. I think he got blasted when he came in relief in his first game. I think he might have given up 5 goals. Then he gives up 3 and gets a win, gives up 2 and gets a win, and now he's given up 1 and gets a win. So he's heading in the right direction. But otherwise, a team that's been banged up all season long and is next to last in Metro.
Rob, this is not an easy observation to answer to, but, you know, there's one thing that's happening with the Ducks, and it's the passing game. Amongst other issues, you know, there's no real statistical basis or some analysis out there that you can, you know, gauge the passing game, because it's hockey, it's a fluid sport, there's a lot of bounces, it's very fast. But, boy, I just see the Ducks as a club where the connections, it's not the tape-to-tape passing that you need, and since it's not, you're not able to generate the one-timers that you need. And it's definitely an issue as we head to the halfway point of the season for the Ducks.
Yeah, well, I mean, and first of all, for me, like you just brought up the bounce factor. There's so many intangibles in hockey, and some of that's chemistry and character and coaching that doesn't necessarily translate analytically. And 90% of what I see with my eyeballs, are 90% of what I read analytically, I've already seen with my eyeballs. I'm coaches and GMs might use some of it. I've had one GM tell me that won a Stanley Cup that he used analytics to select one defenseman or trade for one defenseman, and then he used guts and glory to choose a forward to help himself win a cup. But I think more often than not, these guys are experienced hockey men, and what they see is generally what they get, and they'll use the numbers to complement that. In terms of the passing, I was listening to Hazy in the third period on the TV side, and then some of the other analysts just talking about they probably overpassed. They were trying to be too fancy, trying to do too much. And part of that is, you know, you got a pretty young hockey club, and you know, kids are going to do that, and you're loaded with kids. So maybe that's not necessarily surprising, especially when you get frustrated, you know, playoff situations on each. So you want to put on a little bit of a show here while you can, because what else are you playing for? And that's harder for a younger player to really grasp the importance of kind of trying to stick to the plan.
No, I would absolutely agree with that. You know, you see with a youngish crew, you see guys who don't quite understand that they don't have a couple extra milliseconds that they think they do. And you get a lot of, you know, cross ice passes in the offensive end that are easily intercepted, you know, rather than, you know, nail it on the net, even put it at the goalie's legs and you try to manufacture a rebound is a little too fancy is absolutely right. Trevor Zegras tonight, 9 shots on goal out of a grand total of 12 that he attempted. So, and 21 minutes and 56 seconds of ice time. But he and Troy Terry have run a bit cold of late. I mean, Zegras had had an assist at the end of the game tonight, but as the season wears on, they've run a little bit dry, the two of them, and that's not even knocking anyone's play, because I see what Troy Terry is trying to do out there, and you know, sometimes he looks like he's a loner. There's nobody there to, you know, to come down and join him and help finish what he starts.
Yeah, and again, that's also going to happen. And again, I don't want to just pin it on the young guys, but it's, you know, mental toughness and maturity and experience in the league. Sometimes you get into a situation with a team that's struggling and you're not sure what is down the road. Well, they know what's down the road, but it's not a playoff spot. So you start to just play hockey, and you're not necessarily focused on the process. I think it's been, what did he go through, 9, 10? He's had points in 3 of his last 10 games, Zegras, and maybe 4 of his last 13, something along those lines. So, yeah, you're in the dog days right now. That can be tough, particularly on the younger guys.
Rob, let's turn our attention now to some Winter Classic and World Junior stuff. Since you are up there now, and you're all over the world, but at this point in your life, you're up there in the Pacific Northwest, and you're covering the Seattle Kraken and also the Vancouver Canucks. And just before the game tonight, I think it was just before the game, the NHL announced that the Winter Classic would come up to your neck of the woods next year. It's going to be at T-Mobile Park, where the Mariners play baseball, and it's going to be the Vegas Golden Knights and the Seattle Kraken. I welcome this because I love the event, but I've seen enough Boston, Chicago, and Pittsburgh for the next decade.
Yep.
I don't need to see them in the Winter Classic again. So what are your thoughts on the announcement today?
Yeah, pretty amazing. That they're going to play it at T-Mobile in the ballpark here, the home of the Seattle Mariners. And their one concern, because they had kind of entertained this idea before, that they were concerned about rain. And they finally decided, well, if it rains, then we'll use the roof, which kind of makes it not an outdoor game anymore, right? But I think they're confident and optimistic that they'll be able to play it completely outdoors. But they do have that as an emergency situation if they need it. But otherwise, yeah, it's fantastic. You got the two newest franchises in the National Hockey League playing in the Winter Classic, and they're already making plans for it. Three things have been rolling around my head here, Josh. One,
yeah,
I actually worked the last Fenway, the 2010 game, and this will be close to home for some of your listeners. It was the one time I ever got to work with Dave Strader, which was super cool because the lady passed away in 2017 from cancer, the great announcer. I'd known him for many years, but I was really honored to have an opportunity to do one broadcast with him, and that was the national radio broadcast. And I ran into Darren Pang the other day. Panger was doing the TNT in Seattle, and we were reminiscing a little bit about Strades. But that was pretty cool. We had a lovely time then, and they did a really nice job at Fenway again this time. And like you said, it is a pretty amazing event, and the fact that they're going to bring it to the Pacific Northwest is remarkably cool.
Yeah, indeed. So just to let everybody know, I'm sure you already know by now, but the Boston Bruins, who do not lose at home, refused to lose to the Penguins today. They were down 1-0, and in the third period they got 2 goals by Jake DeBrusque, who's up to 16 goals now. The Bruins look like your old club up there looks like they're going to go wire to wire. And when you are a wire, if they continue to do what they're doing now, that is very scary in the postseason when a team comes out of the gate in October. I remember a Ducks team that did this and goes wire to wire like a freight train running downhill. That's a lot to contend with in the postseason.
Absolutely. And they're singularly focused. And, you know, you get Patrice Bergeron probably playing in his last season. They bring back David Krejci, fresh legs. So you got the old 1-2 right-handed centerman. They just seem to be really dialed in, and they appreciate playing for the new coach, Jim Montgomery. The Butch Cassidy years had finally come to a conclusion. It is amazing that they're 19-0-3 at home, and they've lost a grand total of 4 hockey games this season. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And I was thinking that maybe they would lose their one home game at a, not inside the barn, but out at Fenway. But they, like you said, Jacob Brosk was funny. I just saw Louie. He does the TV for the Oilers. Saw him the other night in Seattle as well. And we're talking about Jake. And here he is, lighting the lamp twice to get the win.
Rob, let me get your thoughts real quick on the World Junior Championship, where we stand now. It's going to shake out where the Czechs or Czechia is going to play Sweden, and the USA is going to play Canada. And, I keep hearing the hype about Connor Bedard. And I welcome the World Juniors, Rob, because as you know in the States, I've been a broken record about this. Thank goodness for the NHL Network, because we never got this tournament. And it's not that easy to be a draft nick in hockey, because Americans don't get to see that much junior hockey. They don't get to see that much college hockey. But now, thank goodness, we get to see the World Juniors every year. So Canada's up against it. Slovakia has had a tremendous year as a hockey-playing country. First two draft picks are Slovaks. And today, they take Canada to overtime. So hats off to Slovakia. They played a great tournament. But who is it? Connor Bedard, living up to every ounce of hype here, Rob.
Yeah, he breaks all the goal-scoring records and the point records for Canada. He passed Jordan Eberle, who's playing for Seattle, and was commenting on that the other day. He skates through three guys and dekes the goaltender to get the winner in overtime. He said, you know what, I'm just going to take this on myself and get it done. So he's from North Vancouver. So everybody in D.C. is pretty excited about the kid. And I literally just before I got on the phone here, I'm writing a little article for tomorrow morning for the Vancouver HockeyInsider.com about him, like daydreaming and spitballing about, okay, how do you tank? Just how do you tank enough to get into a position where the lottery balls start working in your favor from a Vancouver perspective? Right now they have the eighth worst record in the league. So they have to, you can do a managerial tank. Players aren't going to throw hockey games, but you know what? If you start unloading contracts and money and players earlier as opposed to closer to the deadline, that might raise your chances of, dropping, losing a few more points along the way. Right now, yeah, Ducks, Columbus, and Chicago are the three lowest with the crack of Connor Bedard. And believe me, you'd love to have him. Hey, by the way, Josh, you'll love this.
Yeah.
Do you know where I was and John Gibson were? Because we were together in the same place 10 years ago today.
My gosh, what was it, World Junior? Or is that...
It was World Junior.
Right?
We were in Ufa, Russia, and we would have been. They would have played Canada in the semis and beat them, and then they beat Ricard Raquel and a number of other star Swedes in the gold medal game. And John Gibson was the most valuable player of the tournament. And I thought of that when I was watching the game tonight. I totally forgotten about it. I was like, oh my god, that's a decade ago. It was the 2013.
Same story.
12-13. You roll into the new year. And
they
won it with JT Miller and Johnny Gaudreau and John Gibson.
Yeah, and then last summer, Mason McTavish swats that puck down for Canada, and I don't think any Canadian fans are ever going to forget that one. And we've got our hands on Mason McTavish here. So, yeah, as far as the lottery goes, I remember when Buffalo wanted Connor McDavid. And they did everything they could to unload everyone. They ended up with Jack Eichel. But, it's interesting. You certainly, as you mentioned, what are you going to do? The players want to win. You would have to be a managerial thing. Now, speaking of managerial things, I want to take a moment to recognize that Joe Pavelski has signed another one-year extension. $3.5 million to stay with the Dallas Stars. And I had not thought about this, but I saw this factoid today, Rob. You got to love this guy. He was a seventh-round draft pick. And I'm looking at the numbers here, and only in terms of players drafted in the seventh round or later, he's played 1,200 games. The only other two are Doug Gilmore with 1,474 and Luke Robitaille with 1,431. A seventh-round pick, and Pavelski has led the Stars ever since he joined them. He's led them in points, assists, plus minus, and power play goals. What a tremendous career this guy's had.
Yeah, and he's amazing hand-eye coordination in front, setting kind of new standards in terms of handling pucks in front of the net and such. First line minutes for him, right? I mean, this is a guy that's playing on the top line in Dallas right now, and he's 38. Yeah, I think he's 38 years old. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, by that time, most often, maybe not in the case of Jágr, you can count on one hand a guy still playing on the top line when he's 38 years old. But Pavelski's been seeing time with Robertson and Hintz, so there you go.
Yeah, no, I think the Dallas Stars could be very formidable in the playoffs. I mean, they've looked really, really good under Peter DeBoer. And speaking of which, I always remember to Teemu Selänne, for after the age of 35, up until about the age of 40, after about 41, it started to diminish. But his points per game,
he's still there.
His points per game were the same as when he was young. From 35 to 40, and it's amazing to me.
I guess I should have thought of the obvious Ducks example.
No, that's all right. You can leave that to me. But you know, Jágr still talks about, he does 1,000 squats a day. He had to appear in a game for his club. I mean, he's a beast. They had to press him into action a little while there. Yeah.
Yeah, he played for Kladno, the Teons in the Czech Republic. Yep. Not too long ago.
All right.
I don't think he minded.
I think he would go back anytime. Rob, I'll tell you what, it is always a pleasure to have you here on Duck Calls. Why don't you give me just a little prescription for how maybe the Ducks can work their way out of this funk? We still got five games on this homestand. We played a lot of road games early. I still believe that there's a way to write some entertaining chapters here, even if you're not headed to the playoffs. What would you suggest for the Anaheim Ducks coming into this remaining five games on the homestand?
Well, they need to do kind of the opposite things that we were critical about earlier on the show here, and kind of echoing what some of your analysts are saying on the television side is just, it's simple, you know, all this overpassing and all the fancy stuff and guys trying to do too much on their own. And we gave reasons as to why that might be happening, but that has to stop happening. You need to get a little bit stronger goaltending and then apply those same simplicity concepts to the power play and to the special teams that you're doing at 5-on-5. Just do it across the board and get back to some basic, you know, they're a talented young bunch, but you know what? You gotta work your ass off in the National Hockey League. You're not going to win hockey games. It's that simple, and you can't be fancy. You just got to play a straight ahead, simple game. Period.
No, I couldn't agree more. Pass, shoot, and one-timers as much as you can, and slam away and manufacture some rebounds. Hopefully, now that we're almost halfway through the season, maybe we can start to see some of that. But what I'd like to see all of you do is go to SeattleHockeyInsider.com and go to VancouverHockeyInsider.com. Rob Simpson is one of the great hockey media guys of this day and age, and it is always a pleasure to have him on Duck Calls. Rob, thank you so much once again.
Josh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Very good. There he is, Rob Simpson. All right, so we had the Winter Classic today, as I mentioned, and we're going to have Seattle against Vegas on New Year's Day next year, which I welcome because in my own humble, it's not really a humble opinion, it's a rather boisterous opinion. I can't watch any more Winter Classics with Boston, Pittsburgh, Chicago, I don't know, the Rangers, the Wings. It's enough. Put them on the sideline for a decade, please. Please put them on the sideline for a decade. Let's get the Ducks into the Winter Classic. Let's get everybody else who hasn't been into the Winter Classic into the Winter Classic. And by the way, I understand there's an American television angle to all this, but Montreal, how about the Winter Classic in Montreal? How about the Winter Classic in Toronto? So, you know, I mean, I know we have the Stadium Series, but let's get the Winter Classic going for more clubs. And I'm happy to hear the two new clubs are going to go at it next year. As I mentioned, Bruins 2, Penguins 1 today. Jake DeBrusk, both goals. And here, obviously, in Anaheim, you have a 4-1 victory for the Flyers over the Ducks.
And the only other game today was the Vegas Golden Knights and Colorado Avalanche. This is in Colorado. It's 3-2 today. Golden Knights, two goals by Nick Waugh, his seventh and eighth goals of the season. Michael Amadio also kicked in. And then for Colorado, Nathan McKinnon's ninth and Mikko Rantanen's 25th of the season. Flyers a banged up club. The Avalanche have been a banged up club. Everybody deals with it. But today it was Vegas over the Avalanche. All right. I am going to get out of here now, and I'm going to talk to you on Wednesday. Come on out to Honda Center. Come on out. We need you down here. We're going to need you down here. Come on out and see the Ducks play the Dallas Stars, who I've been talking about. You get to see Joe Pavelski, Jason Robertson, local boy, by the way. Get to see all those guys. But I'd like to see, mostly I'd like to see you here at Honda Center. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock is the game, right here on Ducks Stream. Thanks to Rob Simpson. Have a good night. Happy New Year, everybody.